Well, there's no basis for the rumor. I can absolutely tell you that that is false. I'm not in a position to tell you how many companies bid on it as a practice. We just don't release that information. I can tell you there were multiple bidders on the original RFQ. So nothing could be further from the truth than that there were no bidders on that original RFQ.
I think that helps because I think rumors like that get out and people start going, well, what's the problem? Why aren't things going well? Maybe there's not a lot of interest. Let me ask you on this one. Obviously, it's hard to say how many people are going to bid, but based on the reaction you saw at the event the other day, do you feel like your guys, as you said, the maturity level of industry is more? Do you feel like GSA is going to get dozens of bidders?
I don't have a specific target or number in mind. I was asked the question by industry itself, and I said we want to get as many bids as we possibly can. So the more we get, the better. I think the fact that we've cleared up the guidelines for industry in filling out their proposals and submissions through Schedule 70 is going to make a huge difference this time. I think we've done a very, very robust outreach to both agencies who are customers on these schedules as well as the vendor community that we're at a different place. We're at a different place from understanding. We're a different place in terms of maturity. So I anticipate that we will have a healthy influx of bidders on the RFQ.
So let me start with the infrastructure as a service. How is it going to be different this time than last?
There are several things that will be different. First of all, we're raising the security level to the moderate level. I think that's where the public sector in general is headed, is for greater security in these cloud provisioning agreements. So we've raised this up to the moderate level. I think that's a significant improvement and difference from the prior RFQ. We also are making it much easier and clearer to map the industry offerings to the contract line items in this BPA instrument that we're using. There was some confusion about whether specific services and prices for some of the industry offerings, how they map to the CLINs or the contract line items in this BPA. And we've gone back and actually cleaned that up and had conversations with the industry on how that mapping process can work very effectively. And then I think the third big difference, as I mentioned, was that things that are awarded off of this IAS BPA will be candidates that will go into the FedRAMP centralized CNA approval process. So I think that will make a difference as well, in that you're knowing that your product or service will actually go through one CNA and then be usable across the entire government.
The other thing was, the previous one was just at the lowest level of security, and now this goes to medium. Obviously, when we talk about lowest level, we talk about stuff like public affairs websites. We talk about stuff that you don't need a lot of security around. You don't want it to leave it open. Now, when you go to moderate, what are you guys looking at? How are you guys defining moderate in terms of what types of websites you could foresee agencies using this for?
I think it raises the usage or the potential for solutions to go outside of just public facing and go into some of the applications used within the agency. It just opens up the potential for use, I think, greater than the low level does. I think it opens up more opportunities for cloud solutions. Now, remember, Jason, this is an infrastructure as a service offering. It is focused on three things. It is focused on storage, virtualization, and web hosting. It is not covering the full gamut of cloud services. This is a commodity-based infrastructure as a service offering from GSA, and that is one of the areas where we know agencies have a tremendous interest in trying to achieve cost savings for their large infrastructure investments.
Status of software as a service and a time frame, when are we going to see, anything around that in the near 6 or 9 months?
Yeah, we let the software as a service RFI expire, and we're developing new process and procedures that will allow the SaaS vendors to submit some additional information that better describes their service offerings. Goes back to my point on lessons learned from the launch of the apps.gov storefront. This is a new concept, and we certainly are learning from it. One of the confusions in the software as a service is mapping of those services to specific cloud categories. And we want the schedule vendors to be able to submit something that's accurate, and we have an opportunity to make sure it maps to our categories in the best way possible. So that's what's happened. We've let the original RFI expire. A new RFI is being put together with new instructions, new outreach to industry. It'll probably be issued next week, and we anticipate that that will, again, help us to make the software as a service component of apps.gov improved over the original version.
And the time frame for the infrastructure as a service is in a month or more, or when?
It's imminent. As I told industry and as I'm telling the CIOs, we wanted to do our outreach and our conversations both with industry and with agency CIOs before we issued this new RFQ. So we've done 2 days. We've met with over 300 industry representatives from all kinds of vendors in the community. I feel like we've got tremendous input from industry. We're in the midst of collecting comments from agency CIOs, again, on their understanding and satisfaction with the vehicle. As soon as we feel like we've answered the questions, we've got the right pieces in place, we will launch it. I think it's a matter of weeks. We're not talking about months.